Welcome to the MXGP Podcast Show on Vital MX. Your hosts, Lewis Phillips and Adam Wheeler, will discuss all things MXGP.
Woke up with a bend in the brain, stretching out with a cup of coffee.
Welcome to another episode of the MXGP Podcast Show on Vital MX, a very special edition. The prodigal child has returned. It's like I've never been away, to quote Tracy Beaker.
Is that a reason why you didn't do the show last week, so you could build this whole thing up?
No, as you know, I was in a bit of heat from previous episodes, and I felt as though if I did an episode just before I come to Majora, my heat would get too hot. So I let it simmer.
But I thought you had sunstroke from the Nationals.
That as well. Right, honestly, okay. I've got a lot of issues. I'm very emotional now after this weekend as well. So I'm physically unwell, emotionally unwell.
You're jet-lagged.
Did I make the right decision? Who knows? We'll get into that and more on this episode.
Is
of
this
the...
a therapy session now, Lewis?
Maybe.
Or are we... Oh, okay.
We'll get into the discussions I've had with riders.
We have a special guest.
Well, I'm getting...
Sorry.
You jumped in while I was doing my intro.
I apologise.
We'll get into that and so much more on this episode of the MXGP Podcast Show on Vital MX, which is, of course, presented by Polisport, All Balls Racing and EVS Sports. Thank you to those brands for their commitment to us. Polisport have been on for a year and a half now, and we have a new read.
Really? So no, not on breakable levers
so
anymore.
Don't tell me about the crashes you remember and whatnot, because we're not doing that anymore. Our new read is three paragraphs. So right. Buckle up. I am, of course, Lewis Phillips, joined by MotoGP man, getting dirty for one weekend only.
I'm really tired of that label.
You know him as the Paddock Pass podcast person.
Yes.
Well, Adam Wheeler.
Thank you very much, Lewis. It's been a bit of an echo this weekend. It's been nice to be back in the MXGP paddock. Why'd have to be labelled? Why label people?
Well, we'll get into labels with our next co-host. We are in the MXGP paddock as we record this. We could have had Hurlings. We could have had Sewer. We could have had Tim, potentially. If certain things line up.
Jorge Prado, the world champion.
Dan is in our vicinity. But instead, we have gone for Pulp MX's Steve Mathis, one time only, and presented by Pro Circuit for one time only.
Yes. Thank you to Pro Circuit for allowing me to do my Pro Circuit Pulpcast with you guys on the Vital Show and EVS and Polysport.
All Balls.
All Balls.
All Balls are on your Moto 60?
Yes.
Synergy?
Synergy. And also, when you think of Steve Mathis, you think of All Balls. And Adam, it's great to have this... the great street bike racing journalist, Adam
okay,
Wheeler,
here we go.
Joining us. He grew up on the dirt. He followed these forever. We've lost them to street bike racing, but it is great to have my friend Adam Wheeler back, and I'm excited to do this. Thank you, guys.
Steve, can you just tell us your little anecdote about Dan?
Yes.
You know, in your post-race interviews today, because right. That was a good story. It seems that Dan Longo has just affected the minds of media members.
It's incredible. I think for this podcast, because... we're going to have a lot of the same listeners. I think some of the funnier off-racing stuff we'll save for our show, because this thing's going to go on and on and on.
Yes.
And I'm hungry and I want to...
Yep. We're going to do a solid hour.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, we'll save some of that stuff for the show. But, yes, David Luongo came to Indianapolis. He was called Dan on Race Day Live, and
He's been Dan on this podcast all year also.
Okay. So we've never stopped calling him Dan. And today, he told me that the track will be dusty by the second motos. And I laughed because we got a monsoon of rain.
Silly Dan.
And then, sure enough, the second motos, it wasn't dusty, but whatever, it was not bad. And then Tim Geiser told me there was almost dust out there. And then I could not think of Dan's real name. And I was like, yeah, and Luongo, I just said.
Giuseppe?
I just went with it. If you listen to this, you've already heard the Tim interview, so you know where that came from. But I really, really dropped the ball on that one. At least I didn't ask him about his dad.
Did you see his dad?
Did not.
Okay, that's good.
Must have took this one off.
quick roundtable to start. Our first GPs of the year, Steve's first GP in like a decade. Honestly, it was so good to be back.
Yeah.
Like, better than I even imagined. Obviously, I have certain riders who I talk to, and it was quite like built up, like, here we go. I've had such a good weekend. I've achieved very little, but so good to see everyone. You forget how many recognizable faces there are, how many people there are to catch up with. Genuinely, the best weekend I've had in a very, very, very long time.
If you think about it, my first one since, not counting Disnation, my first one since 2017 or something. 16. Adam, your first one of the year.
My first one of the season, yep.
Your first one of the year.
Yep.
Like, we're all kind of, it's kind of neat that we're all here doing this and talking about it because just fresh perspective.
I feel like it's been a bit of a rites of passage for you, Lewis. You seem to, I mean, it's been a traumatic weekend as well in terms of the weather, the scenario, some of the incidents on the track, but
Some of the off track?
Yes.
Yeah. It just feels like,
feels like a very personal journey.
If Lewis's weekend was a movie, I mean, it would start, you know, tremendously, and then it would crash down with the rain, and then it would rise up with the conversations, and then tragedy in the third act, conflict in the fourth act.
There would be dust.
And then a triumphant conclusion of the weekend.
We're familiar with the last episode of Friends.
Of course.
Yeah, where the whole, did they get on the plane? That is the end of my movie, with the MXGP, certain members of the MXGP paddock, looking at the airport, like, did he get on the plane, or did he stay?
But to be honest, I mean, Steve, I mean, Jeffrey Herling's wins a moto, I mean, the second
first,
time in a week.
First dry moto of the year.
And Jeremy Sewer makes the podium for the first time on a Kawasaki. I'm struggling to... In fact, it makes me slightly sick of Lewis's kind of impact. I think it's had... Well,
Ben would have gone 1-1 if he was here.
This was a wacky weekend. Like, we showed up on a wacky weekend. Like, and then you look at Sasha Kunin taking his second win in a row. I was told by the GP experts, not you, Adam, because I talked to more to this guy, and a certain Jason Thomas and certain other GP experts, that Sasha, you know, not as good as Lucas, not going to win, blah, blah, blah. And that kid ripped off two in a row. So, yeah, when you think about that and then you think about the product, yeah, crazy weekend, really.
Yeah, but, I mean, not to go too far into MX2, but I do feel like Sasha has...
We don't talk MX2 is, on this?
We do, like, 5 minutes at the end.
Okay, I didn't know.
We it's a token gesture.
Okay.
We do an hour of shouting, rambling,
yes,
random anecdotes about food and whatnot, sure, and then we give MX2 a token...
Got it.
Good job, guys. Well done.
Well, no, but there's a bigger narrative for MX2, and it dips into our old argument about EMX 250, because the guy who has won almost 50% of the EMX 250 motos this year turns up in his first wildcard appearance and gets on the podium. So what does that mean for EMX 250? Does that mean it's actually really valid, and it's a great class?
Dan spoke to me today, one-on-one, type of friendship we have, and he reiterated to me that he is very, very, very happy with the EMX program. Didn't know if that was a shot across the bow at my comments, but yeah,
it's
unibrow kid, he did it.
Two things to that. One, being cynical, it's an earner. I mean, every European kid that rolls up here is paying a race, it's a fee. But the second part of it is they're on GP tracks, world championship level organization. They're in the shop window for all of the teams and senior management, and there, you know, there were some high ranking Japanese here today, not only from Honda but from Kawasaki as well, and Yamaha, I believe. So, you know, that's the best possible environment, right?
Yeah, it's funny you say Yamaha, and that makes me think of Polisport, who want me to say this doesn't really like work organically because it starts with "Hey Yamaha riders," so I'm doing the best I can.
I'm one. I ride Yamaha.
"Hey Yamaha rider, this one's for you. If you've been riding models from 2002 to 2021...
I'm out, but okay.
That is a range.
It is.
That is a range. Listen up, because Polisport has something that's going to make your heart race.
I already know what this is. It's a redesigned modern plastic for older bikes.
They're introducing the new restyling kit, a complete transformation for your Yamaha, giving
Thank
your
you.
Bike a 2024 look without any complicated modifications. The kit includes everything that you need: a new gas tank, a full race seat, an airbox, all designed to fit seamlessly. No fuss, no hassle. Just a fresh design that breathes new life into your dirt bike. Your old YZ two-stroke will look like it just rolled off the showroom floor. So to all YZ 125 or 250 owners out there, it's time to transform your bike. Your Yamaha deserves it. Polisport has what you need.
Okay.
And that's all we've got time for on the podcast this week.
I know something about ad reads.
Yep.
I do a few. You got to tell these guys 75 words.
It's a new one. Token gesture, first week.
75 words, everybody, because I'm not rambling, because they'll take, if you give them an inch, they'll take a yard.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. You would have liked our previous one.
Okay.
It was quite a common.
The local McDonald's closes in 3 hours, okay. Though, so it's, yeah.
So, what do you want to do first? Paddock chatter, winner, podium, game, or
listen,
other?
In the spirit of the usual tone of these podcasts, let's just go editorially. I mean, who is the big news from today? It has to be the HRC man, right? It has to be Tim Geisha.
Again, not to put myself back into the fire that I just jumped out of. No, it's Prado.
Really?
Yeah, championship contender who was undefeated in the dry coming into here. Looks like he died. Hasn't died. He's okay. He's hungry.
Yeah, but Lewis, to agree with you, Prado leads every single stat almost. I mean, he's led twice the amount of laps as any other rider in MXGP. He's won twice as many motos. But then the key ones is Geisha has more podiums than anybody else, and he also has that red plate now to the tune of 34 points. And on a very difficult track that we saw move from the deluge of rain from Friday and Saturday to, like, you know, Steve's kind of dusty experience today, he was the one that came up with the goods. Even though, I don't know what you think, Steve, but those last couple of laps in the first moto, and also there was a period, of course, he dropped it in the second. He was looking pretty sketchy sometimes.
Well, if you take away Prado's near-death experience that he's fine now, I think Tim, it's hard to say, but I think Tim goes 1-1 on the day. He looked really good. Prado caught him a couple times, but Tim really rode well. I was very impressed. And so I think I'm leaning towards the HRC man being the story of the day, because I think regardless of Prado's crash, Tim goes 1-1 or maybe 1-2 with Jeffrey or whatever, because let's face it, Tim and Jeffrey were out front.
Oh, 1-1-1.
Yes, right. I forgot about these races.
I don't even know what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
No one's heart rate got above 130 in that qualifier.
Yeah,
that's what happened yesterday.
It was a bit of a snoozer.
Also, someone told me, so yesterday's qualifying race was a mudder. Someone told me who would know that all Tim does is ride hard pack in the rain in Slovenia. So him in the qualifying race was like putting Jeffrey at Lierop in the toughest conditions.
Well, it looked like it. Well, also, too, I walked up a hill to watch the qualifier and my shoes got destroyed. And that was the most boring race ever. Bad decision by me to watch that race in ruining my shoes. But I'm with you. I think Tim Geisher is a story because he was going to win and in a very impressive fashion, and he was going to extend his points lead, in my opinion.
Just as some context for people that maybe just saw the end of the races today and saw this sunkist circuit here, like north of Milan, the rain was ridiculous. I mean, Friday was dry. Saturday morning, it rained up until about midday. And then from about 7 p.m., on Saturday afternoon, the torrent was so loud and so heavy, we couldn't even talk to each other in the media center, and it just flooded. I mean, I had to have my car towed out. You guys managed to, you know, wheel spin your. I still don't know how you achieve that.
Lewis is pure skill.
So a rally driver you are now,
as well as a trainer, motivator,
and
whatnot.
Today they canceled one EMX and they pushed the program back. I mean, yes. The track was not in good shape.
And the women WMX was something of a fiasco. I mean, I counted at least 8 riders stumbled up on the hill. They were stuck there. There was bikes in fences. There was bikes upside down. It was not a good look. And mini rants, Majora, fantastic track. Great history, but it's not equipped for a world championship. Today, I don't know where all these fans.
No,
I don't know where all these fans park their car, because I'm a good 20-minute walk away, perched on a verge somewhere. I hope my car is still upright when I find it later on. They knew about the weather the week before. Get some gravel, get some panels, get something just to assist the logistics, because it just didn't work.
So a rider told me off record, so they will go nameless. Their exact quote was, "This place is a piece of shit. I hope I never have to come back here." There were bricks apparently on the other side of the circuit opposite to the start that were sticking out, and the riders' lines were designed to avoid the bricks. They just stayed there. No one moved them. They said they watched High Point last night. They couldn't believe how good the tracks are out there and how good motocross tracks can be. And basically, fuck my life was the theme.
I got four texts today from riders from High Point told me the track was a piece of shit. But, so,
okay. Just, yeah. You know. So this rider also said to me, okay. Everyone in America complains about Parler. Have they even seen what we're dealing with?
This isn't a great track, history aside. Adam, the only reason you said it's not world championship worthy seems to be because of the car park. You mentioned
Moto
nothing
GP
else.
GP man strikes.
Yeah, the MotoGP man upset about the car park. It seems
well,
like
there was no
the
big screen as well in the infield stage.
Oh, big screen. No. Street bike
no,
guy.
No. It's not just the car park. Okay. You go and go and talk to any of the teams down there in the B paddock, like at the bottom of the hill, who are
so
on,
you're
they're on a foot of water.
You're talking a facility wise,
yeah,
the track.
Because that's an important component of a world championship. That's why in MXGP it goes to certain places, why the Motocross of the Nation keeps going to certain facilities, because they can't fit in a place like this anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it is, you know, and we were saying, if you have a sponsor or someone who's turning up thinking, I'm going to invest $500,000 in this series, and they can't get through ankle deep, you know, pool of water to park their car, I think that's an important aspect of a modern sporting event these days.
I was asking Vlander, and I think, did you get into fourth gear at all out there? Because it is pretty small, pretty tight, you know? He just laughed. He didn't answer one way or another. But, like, it is, yeah, it's not the greatest track, but the history in the hills make it pretty cool.
So Vial told me recently at an outdoor that as a GP rider, he never got out of second or third gear. But in America, he's using fourth and fifth gear. Now, another rider, who will go nameless because this was off record, said that that's because he's a 250 guy. As 450 riders, narrows down my unnamed rider group, they do get to third and fourth. So a little closer to the speeds in America, but still not really comparable.
But there's not many, if you think of something like Lockett, perhaps, that comes to mind first of all, there's not many tracks that are a complete contrast to like High Point, where when you see, especially with the drone shots, how wide and how fast and how open it is. I mean, it's a real sort of speed fest, it seems, compared to this, which is very scratchy and saved really only by the dramatic hills.
Love the drone shots.
Yeah.
Do you want a moment now? Because every week we do a speech about the drone. Did you meet the guy?
I didn't meet Mr. Drone Man, but I think his efforts have to be applauded. I think it adds an element to the TV production.
But the bottom, after all this discussion, though, this track really came around from where it was or what it could have been, because you're right, Adam. It rained ridiculously. It really came around. Dan's dust prediction was close.
So are we done with Geyser? Anything else to say?
Geyser's the man. Adam and I think Geyser is the story.
Okay, that's ridiculous. You're pandering to the situation. I will charge on.
You're pandering towards his victory, you mean?
No, you're pandering to the situation behind us.
Okay.
Geyser won, and that's brilliant, and I'm not taking anything away from his win. But the biggest story is Prado, because he was Geyser's closest competitor. So Prado is fine. After like an hour and a half of doing interviews, I was doing one more lap, stumbled across him and approached him like a gunshot victim. I was like, hey, buddy, you okay? Like, soft voice, maybe, you know, ears are ringing, I don't know.
Did he waste some fucking towels on this kid or not?
And he went, yeah, I'm good. I was like, are you really? Ah. And he was like, no, I'm fine. I was like, oh, interviews? He's like, yeah, sure. Like, so he's fine. He showed me his body in a non-weird way.
Okay.
He's got lumps, bruises, etc., like quite scratched up. He's not happy with Guio. Made multiple references to the fact that Guio got up front, lost his mind as he does, and basically was like, now's my chance, fuck everyone.
Yeah, to me, he started it.
Yeah, he did.
Just one comment on that. What the fuck was he thinking?
It's, I mean, Guio.
Yeah, but even if he makes that move and he doesn't take anybody out, he's going to be ahead for, what, four corners? It's not like he's then going to surge on and win the Grand Prix.
Oh, okay, goddamn.
I mean, I've been singing his praises. I think he's had a really strong season. He's been competitive.
A nice comeback season.
Yeah, he's been competitive. He's had a lot of injury problems, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of messes with teams. And he's had a good, strong year. He's been a real sort of solid bottom top 10 guy. But that today just didn't make any sense.
And Prado was under four to five bikes. First of all, before we even saw Prado, I was concerned because he was under so many bikes that I was like, is he being burnt? Is there a rear tire spinning? Like, I was genuinely concerned for his life.
The real problem with him was Vlaanderen running him over.
So I asked Vlaanderen specifically what part of his body he ran over, because if it's an ankle, we can work with that.
Yeah.
Back and neck. Basically the worst possible position. But no, Prado struggled to his feet. It really looked bad for a moment. I asked if he panicked for a second, you know, like season done, blah, blah, blah. He said he did. Thought to himself, not like this, etc., etc. But yeah, he's fine. And honestly, we know Prado relatively well now. We can read his body language. His body language to me was very much, okay, let's go. Like, now you want to see how good I am? I'll win it like this then. Like, exuberated confidence.
Yeah, and I mean, Claudio De Carli, for example, like the team owner, I of course, like Tony Cairoli's great mentor and sort of guiding force, walked over. He kind of trudged, actually, to when Prado was picking up his bike with a sort of this body language of like, oh, shit, we're in the shit. But then sort of Prado managed to sort of wave him off and then got back on it and seemed to be riding maybe with a bit of adrenaline for two laps and then, I guess, had too much pain and called it.
Was it a bike issue or a pain issue?
Too much pain.
Okay.
Just concern, generally. It sounds like leg, shoulder, neck. Like, it sounds like his entire body was...
Well, his dad told me it was his knee, his elbow, and his shoulder. So,
yeah, his knee is quite... There's a nasty lump on his knee. But he confirmed many times on and off record he will be ready to go in Indonesia. Expects to ride again towards the end of this week. Some days off, of course. Is he out of this?
Well, no, you kind of intimated that about Jeffrey when he had the DNF. Well, Jeffrey was saying, you know, I'm so far behind in the points now. But it was ridiculous to assume that, you know, Geiser's not going to have some sort of moto failure.
But
or
in all honesty, has Geiser had a single moment this year? Not particularly.
It was only halfway through. We've got still another 10 GPs to go. And
but also, he's not had a moment when he's been in this deep, deep, deep title fight. He's now got a cushion.
34 points, I think. Something like that.
That's enough, I feel like, for him to even relax more. Well, not that he was already relaxed, well, but you know.
The problem that Prado's got is the lack of depth, right? Because Geiser would have to have a pretty horrific accident to not get a fourth at this point. But Renault's out for the year. Febber's out for only a few more weeks. So that'll help a little bit.
Gertz might be back for Lommel, but okay. Even then he's, you know, you're a rookie. Yeah. 450.
So that's the issue, right? How do you make up points when Geiser cartwheels and gets up and gets a fourth still?
I can't remember if this was on or off record, so we'll just run it. He said to me he's excited, or not excited, he's hopeful because Indonesia, it will be hot. So maybe some riders fade, others are stronger in the heat and can shine. Then he said we go to sand tracks, Vlaanderen, Koldenhof, etc. can maybe get in there. He said, like, mapping out the rest of the season, it shouldn't be just those three guys. There will be opportunities to...
Lewis, I completely agree with Steve. I think, you know, those three, both Moto, all three Motos of the weekend, the cream just rose to the top instantly within two laps.
I was shocked, honestly. He won't admit it. He won't talk about it. He's going to pretend it didn't happen, like that drunk uncle at a Thanksgiving. I was shocked they pulled Jeremy Sewer that badly. I mean, Jeremy's a great rider. Not having a greatest year, but gone.
It was like 35 seconds by after, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah. And like, wow, right? How is that going to – how is Jeremy or Calvin or any of these guys going to start making – cutting into that coming forward from here? So I don't know, man, about that. Other guys getting in the group.
But sand is completely different.
Sure.
But Geiser and Herlings and Prado are probably the three best sand riders in the pack anyway.
Well,
Febber may be on a good day.
Prado, exactly. So Prado's probably hoping 1-1 on that day.
But again, Steve's point is really valid that, you know, there's nobody in there to mix shit up unless Guillou decides to torpedo somebody else in the next GP.
Give me title percentages.
Now it's looking... I said Prado at the start of the year, didn't I? So I'm just going to stick with that.
That's not title percentages.
But yeah, that's no, it's not. Different answer
that
to...
That kind of requires a bit of thought. Can I come back to it?
Okay, Steve. Title percentages.
33%.
70-30?
Oh.
Tim?
And just hurling zero.
Yeah, I mean, okay. How far back is he?
I don't know. I was actually just trying to work that out. Do you know?
I think he's 30. You said 34. I believe Hurlings is another 30.
Hurlings said to me 70-ish, but he was obviously
okay. So
off the
70
cuff.
Points down half a season.
What
you're going to give him a percent?
What is 440 to 511? 71.
Yeah.
71.
Yeah.
And Herlings is 37 down on Prado. So that is the glimmer of hope for Herlings in my mind. He had his DNF. Prado's now had his. Odds will say Geyser will have an issue, and that will help Herlings get in the window.
Just to give listeners some perspective as well, Herlings in the official press conference said he was happy. He's been happy the last week because he's much closer to the lead and to winning motos. I mean, this is from the last two GB motos, not counting qualifying heats. He's won two. I mean, he's got 50%. Compared to the first GPs of the year in Argentina and in Spain, he is closer to being that authentic Herlings that we know. So if he carries on in that vein, then he's only going to get better and faster, right?
Okay, controversial. This is the moment in the podcast where I get in trouble. I said to Jeffrey, you were the fastest rider today. Your starts were good.
How can you say that?
But the problem was, you started behind your main competitor's one-line track. No one was making passes. He agreed somewhat. Thoughts?
No. No, he was not the fastest guy at the track.
Yeah, it's hard to...
Late in the
if he was the
moto,
fastest guy, he would catch those gentlemen.
And he did.
At times, and then they pulled back up.
And if it was a track that allowed more passing, maybe when he first caught, he zaps.
But passing's kind of part of racing, right? I mean, that has to happen. I mean, if you're going to have game points.
But it's difficult here.
I would put him, on this track with these lap times. I mean, they were all very close, right? That was a great first moto, even though there was no passing. It was a great first moto to watch. So did Jeffrey go as fast as Tim? Sure. Okay. And Tim got the start. But the fastest man, no. Because that means you have to catch a gap and then pull away. So,
Okay, the best rider? Is that valid? Is that different?
No, Tim would be the best rider.
Okay. I look forward to my next meeting now.
Well, Tim, I mean, Jeffrey didn't make any mistakes. You could say that. I mean, Tim did.
Not exactly the best title, but okay, we'll take it.
Yeah. No mistakes. No mistakes, Jeff.
Jeffrey is really clinging to this mantra of I'm going to be there every week. Don't care if I win. And if there's one man who's known for his consistency, his ability to show up every single week, the man you can count on day after day, week after week, is Jeffrey. This really is it.
I thought you were going to say Jeremy Sewer then.
No, shit, I meant to do... Okay, anyway, you just reminded me something I meant to do today that I forgot. But Jeffrey is subscribed to this, and you know what? He won't admit it fully. I believe he says he's kind of given up on the title, or it'll be very difficult, is his words. I think he still has...
He's tempering expectations.
A lot of, yeah. He's really playing the game of like, oh, look at me, I'm... Little old Jeffrey, I'm old and I'm broken and I'm Woody in Toy Story with a broken...
Oh, don't start all that again.
Elbow, shoulder.
Maybe you can take Plessinger's fucking gear and actually look the part.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
Thank you to four. So you're not as high on Jeffrey's weekend as I am.
It's a good weekend, and like he said, he's building back up. But I don't buy into the whole I'm out of the championship, you know, this is beyond me. Like we said before, I still think his priority is to get to the end of the season and say, okay, guys, remember my value. I'm not somebody who disappears. As soon as I get injured, I'm away for 6 months.
How can you not think that that's his mindset now? I mean, the guy's been ravaged with injuries. He's missed so much time. Yeah, if I'm him and he's older, I'm saying I'm going to back it down a little bit and make this series.
Rattle through some Herlings notes quick. One. Most likely doing the rest of the British Championship. Quite good for a British Championship rider, in my opinion.
I don't know why.
Money?
I can tell you.
He needs it.
I told you the figures, didn't I?
Yeah, I know, but
he's probably a little short
it.
These days.
I mean, has he made some bad investments? I mean, why?
Two. Stolen his money?
It's all tied up in houses. Two, he said his bike is... So the first hill that you climb out of the third turn, we made the observation in the first moto that his bike was slow. And honestly, it was obvious to the naked eye. Anyone with a brain could see that. He said his bike is basically slower than a standard KTM because he needs to ride it like a 250. He said Prado's bike is the most aggressive 450 you could possibly have. And he said, I feel like an idiot saying this, but I could not ride that bike. Physically, I do not have it in me to find a way to make that bike work.
So props to Prado then.
So I followed that up with Prado in an interview, which you can listen to on this network also. So the bike is down on power. You could see coming down the hills, he would make up the time, slower bike, etc.
Oh, but when you say that, Lewis, it also probably hooks up in some slick spots and keeps it going, right? Does it spin the rear tire? It's a yin and a yang thing.
Yeah, and a gearing thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, so in spots, I'm sure Jeffrey's bike works better than Jorge's.
But that hill, it was very obvious.
Sure,
like that, he would gain, lose. That arguably cost him a better position in Moto One and the GP win eventually.
He was trying some different lines.
Well, I went over there because I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? The two laps I was over there, he followed Prado rut for rut. It was just the bike was slower. Anyway, third note. So his starts have been better since Latvia. He changed mapping. Austrian test rider, 37 years old, found a really mellow map setting.
You know he's 37, but you don't know his name?
Gunther. A rider I know. I was like, I've not heard that name in ages. Gelterbacher. Guten.
No, you've lost me. You're talking German now.
Gaben.
Dan?
Longo.
So basically, bike is much mellower for the start, stopping wheel spin. That was his problem at the start of the year. Feels like it now needs to maybe go a bit more aggressive, especially as he has more grip, wet and slick here, obviously, but happier with that as well. So he's finding comfort with his package. And I had a fourth note. Oh, so I said to him, can you come and do an outdoor? I'm lonely. And he said, my schedule's full with a British championship. Which I said to him, if I had told a young Jeffrey Herlings that you would choose Blacksall over Southwick, you would have punched me in the face.
Especially when they were throwing ham sandwiches at him at the British Grand Prix in Matterley Basin.
My friend Tim mentioned that his start, they've been working on his starts. And I said, yes, the Honda USA bike seemed to be pretty good at the starts. I said, did you do mapping or body, you know, technique? And he said, both.
Did your dad work on it?
I left that part out. But my friend Tim's starts were great today. They said they've been working on it.
Okay. Are we done with Jeffrey?
This was a tale of three riders, but then a fourth rider popped up and got on the podium.
I just remembered my fifth note on Jeffrey. Contract is up at the end of 2025. Adamant, does not want to retire. Categorically, I'm going after another contract. I know I told everyone this was my last. I'm going to keep going.
Jeffrey seems like he likes money. So 2020, like he needs money, apparently.
Yep.
To do British Championships, he must need money. So I'm sure he will sign again.
Yes. So we can look forward to that.
It's a bit risky to change everything for maybe 1 or 2 years. He's been Red Bull KTM since 2010.
Who said change?
No. Well, okay.
I'm sure that he would be KTM or nothing.
Yeah, but he'll probably just wheel out his usual tactic of saying, you know, these people are all after me. You know, here's my price. But
I feel like he has Roger Harvey on speed dial for these exact instances.
Poor Raj.
Yeah, done with Herlings?
Yes.
Okay, go with your sewer point.
Jeremy Sewer. It was very interesting to bump into him on Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, you left halfway through the conversation.
Did I?
Yeah, you would. I don't know why.
I think I had an interview somewhere else. I had to be somewhere else.
Well, we felt disrespected.
Oh, I apologize. But anyway, good ride today. Like Steve says, though, he was the best of the rest. Valandrin, of course, had his issues with Prado in the second moto. But, I think that was a result that Jeremy needed. I mean, he could see the distance, so he's not going to be taking much positivity from it, but still to be on the podium. And we saw like a crazy bunch of Swiss fans setting off flares and whatever else and waving their flags. I think this was a little bit of a shot that he needed, a bit of impetus.
Steve, you don't have a relationship with Sewer,
but
you interviewed him.
Yeah.
Even with no relationship, best interview in the sport?
Well, I wouldn't say no relationship. Who can forget these Saturdays with Sewer?
One instance of a relationship?
Who can forget Saturdays with Sewer at the Motocross the Nations that one year?
He told me he didn't know who you were.
good interview. Yeah, great interview. He seemed happier about the third at the camper than he did in the press conference. The press conference, he was like, yeah, you know, I got lucky and I'm out, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was kind of like downtrodden a little bit. And then when I got to the camper to do the post-race thing, he was, hey, it's good. I'll take it. I'll work with it. You know, it's something to moving forward. He said he was doing some testing out there in the second moto when he was all by himself.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, good interview, though.
I spoke to him after you and I don't want to speak out of turn, so I'm trying to remember exactly how he put it, but he was very honest that essentially the Kawasaki isn't working for him right now. He's tried everything. He's tested. Sometimes situations just aren't ideal. He was fairly honest. He didn't tear anyone down. He said the team is amazing. He's never worked with such a professional group. Said he didn't regret leaving Yamaha because the management and the situation there was unhealthy. So no regrets, but it's not working.
We're still a bit disjointed with Japan, it seems. It seems the synergy between the Japanese division of KHI and then the team as well, that's still, which is normal. You know, it's only, what, the second year? Is it the second year of the association? No, third season, 2022.
Did it start with Ice One? Like, Ice One started and so did Japan?
No, because, you know, you have Kawasaki in Japan, yeah, who are obviously working with the previous team, and then it started in 22, so this is only the third season.
Oh, you're just talking about
season.
Ice One specifically?
Yes. You know, Jeremy's situation with it being a factory Kawasaki rider.
Well, that started this year.
Yes, but
I'm
then...
I'm so confused.
No. No, just what he's signed and walked into.
Oh.
So there we go. But quiz question for you. When was the last time someone other than Roman Febra took a podium for Kawasaki?
Well, I saw... Ante and everyone celebrating with Suez Mechanic, and it was at that moment it struck me that must be his first podium, because Ben, despite his best efforts and immense talent, didn't get on the podium.
Mitch Evans didn't.
Neither did Mitch. Monticelli was 21, so it would have been the DeSalle every year, which was 20, the COVID year. That was the last time both Kawasaki riders had a podium in a single season.
Yeah, 4 years. Okay.
There is a story to be unearthed there, certainly.
I have to laugh. Unnamed sources in the paddock, mostly from Lewis, telling us about the KTMs are not that good. The Kawasaki's are not that good. Honda's got the bike. Everybody wants a Honda.
That did not come from me.
That's like saying, like, Jets got the hell of a... Like, Tim's riding great. The Honda, I mean, the 2025 is new, and they're definitely... made some changes to it from people I talked to, but like 2 years ago the KTM was the bike to have or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Who's ever winning is the one that all these guys look at and be like, that's the bike I need.
Yeah,
like, but it's just, it's hilarious to me.
And just to bounce around subjects for a moment, you know, in MX2 you need an Austrian bike,
clearly,
you know?
I'll defer to you here because you can figure out how to put it. It right now in the KTM group, it's unsettled. How do you want to put that?
Yeah, there's clearly some debate or some reorganization going on in this paddock. Maybe also in the US as well. Ducati staff, senior management are here as well. So they're checking out who they can sign or where they can place their chips for 25 and 26. And yeah, I think there's some key people in this world that need to make some decisions which could shape how the brands, which as we know them are orange, white and red at the moment, how they're going to look next year. But
sure, yes, all those rumors going on, especially the TLD stuff and all that that we've talked about, but the bike itself,
yeah,
we just have to laugh that some of these bikes are unrideable.
Yes, yeah, ridiculous.
It is,
but
ridiculous.
No one, I've not heard anyone say that about the Austrian bikes.
Yeah, but there's all this consternation that, you know, this doesn't work and they have to import suspension and everything else, and it seems like a lot of confusion. And I was actually speaking to somebody from WP Suspension who just said, you know, it's a typical situation when a rider's not doing well. They're looking for answers. They're looking for solutions. And, you know, the fingers get pointed. And I think it's a testament to the likes of KTM that things have gone so well for such a long time that when perhaps something is a little off or they take longer to really optimize a setting, suddenly it's like, oh, no, you know, but there's a chronic failure in Austria.
But for years, it was Austrians that had the step ahead of the Japanese with their ability to pivot and change and get a frame, get it. You know, they're very aggressive in racing, right? For years, they were the company that the Japanese looked to and been, wow, you know, they have nothing but a racing department to work on things. And when it comes to here where there's no production rule, they can make a frame, you know, in a week. And the Honda guys take, you know, 2 months or whatever. The Japanese are conservative. The Austrians are aggressive.
Incidentally, just, you know, this is very it's haphazard, but, you know, coming back to the Japanese, I was talking with Marcus Pereira de Freitas, the team manager of HRC, saying, you know, what's going on with Tim? Why are we not seeing him win more races this year? And he said, to be honest with you, there's no setting on the bike that we're lacking. He says, we're doing the usual stuff of working on the map-ins, and he says they're analyzing the starts like you would not believe. I mean, Geiger's now using blocks. They're filming him all the time to try and work out where his weight distribution is going outside the gate. He said his kind of combination with the bike this year is stronger than it's been in recent years. But he says what they're trying to do is they're trying to calm him down. Don't forget last year he missed half a season with a broken femur. They're trying to calm him down, saying, listen, we need to aim for like 50 points at Grand Prix. We need to look at this whole thing as like a package deal. Every single weekend, we need to be leaving here with like 50 points. So at the end of the season, we're right in there. Yeah. And they're just trying to reorientate his focus instead of saying win, 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 win. You know, follow Prado, win, beat Prado. They're like, get the points, get in the championship hunt.
Do you honestly get the sense that guys are ever operated that way? Because I don't.
No, maybe they're trying to get them to operate that way.
Wait, no. Yeah. No, operated in a way of win, win, win.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw it today. I mean, it was out front. He had a bit of pressure.
Wait, you're saying, am I lost?
No, they're saying they want him to go more consistent. They want him to think, you know, just get away from being obsessed with...
So my point, do you really have the feeling that in the past he has been obsessed with winning? Because I don't feel like he's ever...
No, because they analyse Jorge Prado's championship year where he built up a stack of results at the beginning, then Roman Febre reeled off a set of moto victories.
So it's not a comment on Tim, it's a comment on the dynamic of the series.
Yeah, now with three... point scoring motos, they have to be more strategic with the way they look at this thing. That old cliche of the season's long, there's so many races, where it's more valid than ever.
Honestly, we have 30 motos to go still.
When you said 50 points, I had to do the math in my head and be like, wait, he has to go 1-1, and I forgot about those stupid qualifying races, so my bad. But yeah, I was like, they just want him to, look, you don't really need to get 50 a weekend.
Yeah, just 1-1.
Just 1-1. But then I'm like, I got it, qualifying races, yeah. Still dumb, by the way.
I had another point to say about Austria, but I forget. No, but back to that. So I don't necessarily know, but I feel like I can say with some confidence Husqvarna will not be in this paddock next year. That does not necessarily mean that the number of Austrian rides available will go away or go down, sorry. But whether it's bike setup, whether it's contracts, it does feel like each Austrian rider has their own bug to bear. So I feel like I heard from someone higher up in Austria that a decision will be made probably in the next week. I know there are meetings in Austria this week. I feel like the main focus with the restructuring that will happen is eliminate some of the bullshit, make sure that everyone is happy in their situation, and then we go again to get back to the powerhouse position that you referenced from 2 years ago. Or
also,
whatever.
Just very quickly, I think it's important that people should understand that KTM in particular are an operation in transition. There's an older generation that have kind of departed the scene, and there's a whole new influx of younger mechanics, different management, and that, you know, there is a system and a philosophy in place which means you can hit the ground running, but otherwise there can be bumps in the road with that. So I think you need to give it a bit of time. I mean, we might even see it in the US with, you know, Roger and Ian Harrison. You know, that's not obviously something that can't continue forever. So then when that cycle begins...
Yeah, I think no matter what Lewis is saying about the rides not going away, bottom line is, from what we know, America or here, these are budget cuts. These are budget cuts. So yeah, whether it's riders, teams, whatever, this is a pulling back of racing in a way.
Robert Jonas said to me on record there will be... I don't know if he said budget cuts essentially, but he said there will be cuts because of the current economic situation. But he was also very, and you can comment on this, very quick to confirm that although it's all one budget, MXGP, MotoGP, MotoGP is not necessarily eating into the motocross project.
That's what they've always claimed. You know, they said that, you know, even though they're spending, take a figure out of the sky, 120, 30 million a year on MotoGP, that it would not take away from their off-road. But then, of course, there are other resources going into it in terms of technical staff, ability to produce parts, like Steve was saying. That was such a strong point for KTM in the past. Maybe it's something that's been affected now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I feel like we will hear around Lockett, Lommel. That's normally when KTM make some sort of move.
Ilde Valle is traditionally a time for sort of contracts to be confirmed as
well. I
think
I'm in for Lommel, by the way.
Oh, you're coming back?
Yep.
Oh, wow. See, honestly, Steve, you managed to get rid of him.
The highs were enough to outweigh the emotional
lows. A rider offered to pay for my flight.
Who?
A rider offered to pay for my flight.
Okay.
Honestly, I've never felt so accepted. I was never this accepted when I was here before. I don't know what happened.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
We were recording this outside the media center, and you're just radiating energy. And it's actually getting a bit chilly, so it's good that you're...
I didn't get a feeling like, hey, welcome back at all. So, just for the record,
congrats, because I feel like you've lost some weight.
Fuck me. Yeah. That was a little frustrating.
Every single person that I ran into in the paddock with Steve said, hi, Lewis. Wow, Steve, you lost some weight.
Yes, got to be a little irritating
from
after a little while.
From riders to wives to industry people.
Yeah.
I cannot think of someone who did not reference the fact that Steve is looking trim.
Trimmer.
Or that
trimmer.
Riding. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, we don't need to have that conversation. We can just, you can just think that, you know, person, and we'll move on.
Okay. But
then yeah. Anyways.
Calvin was fourth overall. Good job to Calvin. Looks like he's going to stay at Yamaha next year.
And, sorry, that last lap pass on gifting got him that fourth overall because he was one. He needs
so
that
he
one point.
So he kept going to the end. Actually, everyone was walking off towards the podium.
I said to you, he was
going
to get him.
And I told him.
You didn't hang around for it, though.
I said, Lewis and I had a bet. Yep. He goes, what did you pick? I said you weren't going to get him.
Did he say Lewis is smart?
I said Lewis. I think he did, actually. But I said Lewis had your back on that one. But that last lap pass on gifting gave him fourth overall.
Yeah, but did you tell him that Lewis didn't stick around to see it?
No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, okay. Good point. Yeah.
Bogers was fifth overall, and I really want to highlight this. Bogers is having his 17th career renaissance.
Was there a transfer of power between Coldenhoff and Bogers?
Well,
did they ever make contact this year in a corner?
Again, not to put myself back into the fire that I have gotten out of recently, Bogers is the number one rider on Fantic. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch the races as much as you guys. I watch the highlights and read the race reports, and it seems like, I'm like, what the hell happened to Glenn Coldenhoff?
Who, were you, someone was with me. Someone said to me, and I apologize if I'm about to blow someone out. Someone said to me that there is not the best environment
already
in Fantic. Like maybe Glenn's
between
a bit
the riders?
Maybe Glenn's a bit like, I'm the number one rider. Bogers is coming on. It's a bit... Who the hell would I have spoken to?
Some Dutch...
No, it was like another rider who was like...
I'm just saying there's some Dutchmen going at it in the same team. I thought Glenn's battle with Monticelli was one of the action highlights of the second moto.
So
that's where we're at with Coldenhoff right now.
So also, I heard that the Dutch Nations team has been selected. Herlings, De Wolf, Vlaanderen. Bogers is first reserve, not Coldenhoff. Dun, dun, dun.
It's based on form. That's fair enough.
Yeah. Early, though. Or is it? I mean, I guess we do it beginning of July, don't we?
It's a little early.
I don't know if maybe that's not the picked team. That's the proposed at this time.
It doesn't have to be nominated yet. So
I wanted to get answers from Fantic because we know it's a Yamaha with white plastic. You can probably get your Polisport restyling kit for a Fantic too, I would imagine. I wanted to get answers. Coldenhoff said they've had issues. I said, what issues? He said, I'm not going to tell you. I said, I want to know. He says, I know you do. I'm not going to tell you. We went back and forth. Ultimately, I got nowhere. They've had issues, which have delayed them.
Oh, wait for that interview then.
Sounds thrilling.
That was like 5 minutes of back, forth.
Well, I heard from Fantic that... Frantic. That, you know, they should be frantic
about Coldenhoff's contract.
The biggest issue, but the biggest difference to the Yamahas is the work they do on the race engines, which, you know, if they're getting it tuned by somewhere independent, it's normal anyway. But then essentially it is just a Yamaha. So what
do
they do?
It's weird to me. As a complete outsider, it's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Fantic thing. Adam, you helped me with it a little bit earlier, but.
Also, what do they? They must pay Yamaha for some sort of licensing fee.
I don't know.
Listen to the Glenn interview and we kind of get into it. It's obvious that he can't say much, but there are issues there. The vibe I got was very much that it's not necessarily a factory team. I likened it to his time on Standing Construct KTM, like a top satellite team. He was like...
Yeah, but Louis Vosters has the setup, he has the workshop, he has the whole program. I mean, it operates like a factory team, or it used to.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Like, I will have to re-listen to the interview to try and decipher it. It's certainly an odd situation.
Breaking news from Antonio Caroli. Do you guys want to...
Did he just text you?
When he's going to be racing the Ducati?
I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, go
ahead.
I'm done.
He said, sorry, Pulp, I just saw your message.
So he doesn't know your name?
I don't think he does.
Hey, Pulp.
You did?
Yeah. When I went to see Herlings.
Ah, fuck. Really wanted to see my buddy Antonio.
Oh.
That was the breaking news? I thought he would have given you a message.
No. That was my breaking news. Sorry.
Yeah, lots of great,
I interrupted it, Lewis.
Lots of great performances today, and a lot of riders who showed balls, almost as if they are associated with All Balls. The All Balls Racing Group is a combination of the finest aftermarket power sports brands from across the US and Europe, combining OEM level engineering and design capabilities with a world class supply chain. I'm on the time, don't worry, I've checked it regularly.
Because I'm hungry and tired.
Yeah, yeah. Combining and OEM level engineering and design capabilities with a world class supply chain makes us the largest them.
Speaking of balls, too, I thought you showed balls in some of your meetings today.
Thank you to All Balls Racing. Thank you.
I just thought you showed balls.
Yeah.
I feel like
you cleared the air with Honda.
I feel like the notion is that Lewis will roll over. If I believe I'm right, I'll battle you. Like, I didn't talk to Coldenough for 5 years because I believed I was right.
Right.
And he said he didn't know why I came back.
I'm right about Jason Anderson, and then the beef goes on.
Like I do feel a little bit like I joined this paddock when I was like 12. And I feel like...
You look 12 when you join.
And I feel like I was kind of like the little kid, and some people still look at me as that pushover. No, fuck that.
Yeah. I mean, you've had meetings with Infront Motor Racing, with Honda.
I've not lost one yet. I'm undefeated heavyweight champion of the world.
Of arguments. Arguing, yeah.
Honestly, I'm not...
You should have been in the press conference.
In college... Complete tangent. We're tight for time. In college, someone...
So let's get it. We're tight for time. Yeah. So let's tell a college story.
In college... I was about to get in a fight. Like, someone squared up to me like we were going to fight. I just talked. Walked away. Didn't even get to that point because in an argument, I was just like...
battered him with words.
I was like, look at you. You're fucking pathetic. Like, what? Like, fuck, this is a joke. If you want to fight, I'll do it. But honestly, I'm embarrassed for you. Walked off. Honestly, so if anyone wants a lawyer, I'm there.
So why did you come to MXGP and for the first 5 years say nothing to nobody?
Because I'm not... You have to crack the egg.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you know those Russian dolls?
Yeah.
I'm like the fifth doll in.
God.
Okay.
I'm going to grab control of this podcast here, Steve.
Yeah.
Sasha Kunin.
Yeah.
Second win in a week. Are you convinced? Or is it just a little too ragged? I mean...
Well, yeah, like, again, I was told by my MXGP expert friends that he crashes way too much. He's not going to pull it together, and this is two in a row. And he looked great today. I mean, he looked fantastic.
He was sketchy.
Let's not forget, he crashed in the first moto while leading, so there was that, if you want to talk about Sasha completing the hat trick of things. But, I mean, look, it was an exciting MX2 race just for the fact that watching his brother Lucas and DeWolf go through the pack in Moto1 was really nice to see. Those guys, that, you know, on a track that we talked about, not much passing, not much going on, so those guys were pushing pretty hard. I thought that was really interesting. And I was trying to put my thoughts in the head of Liam Everts, who just needed to pass an EMX guy to win the overall, and knew that, I'm sure, and couldn't do it. So... what does that say about EMX, MX2, or the track?
I don't know. You guys are doing your own podcast now. Fuck Lewis.
So, well, we're just on the second doll. That's what it is.
I'd just like to say well done to all of the MXGP riders. They all did very well. Very proud of you all. Well done. On to MX2.
So, yeah, I that's where I'm at. Like, wow. I was a little shocked.
But I think people are looking at this kid now thinking, has the floodgates opened? You know, has he learned to stay on the motorcycle? I don't think that argument has completely been answered. And he needs media training. Sorry to be critical.
Who?
Sasha. But, he has to learn to... I mean, unless he's thinking, oh, this is win number two of my record-beating stretch for Jeffrey Herlings throughout my career. You know, he has to really celebrate, I think, an achievement, and the performance he did today was impressive. But like Steve said, I mean, the restriction that Kai DeWolf, who's still the world championship leader, was very good on this in the press conference. And we said the second moto, the track was crumbly. It dried to that point whereby the lines had disappeared. It was a singular line, and, you know, to pass anybody, you needed them to fall off or make a mistake, and not many of them did.
Yeah, it was a little bit follow the leader, but I mean, okay. Controversial Steve question here. We know the dad of the Kunin brothers is aggressive.
Rafa.
Any way that he was like, hey, Lucas, don't pass your brother, because he did catch him a little bit. Don't pass your brother because he has the overall and you don't.
I know that Lucas told someone, I could have won, but I didn't want to pass Sasha because I know that would have cost him the overall.
Oh, so Controversial Steve is...
Now, whether he's saying that as a confident, post-race, I could have had that. But yeah, I know he said that for a fact, as a matter of fact.
Wouldn't it be so bizarre if they ended up riding for HRC in the US and you had the Lawrences and the Coonans both doing this fraternal...
Lucas Myrtle's here for meetings.
I can tell you something after. Also, I've got something
to say
that
on a podcast.
I've got something to tell you about Prado, which fascinated me.
Right. You're being a little bit...
People don't like when you say things like that on the shows. I know this.
I've had such a good day.
It's like a mental and verbal diarrhea.
This isn't
clean it up.
A podcast. This is just like...
Can we talk about Honda hospitality?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I had never been in there. You went in there and you took a photo. I didn't go in there.
It was incredible. They have a hospitality truck, but that's not good enough. They have a super hospitality truck. And it is like the inside of like a Japanese wellness center or something. I mean,
did it have a toilet with six different buttons?
I'm sure. I didn't see the bathroom. It's got the low coffee table, shag carpet, leather sofa, a fancy coffee machine, tall back. It smelled like, what was that, like vanilla?
It was like, I don't know.
Some sort of essence.
An essence. There was a little candle. Because
they have two goldfish bowls. One's hospitality, one's the work truck.
Yes.
Then they have another truck behind.
Yes,
which is very much...
That's the other truck. It just stores the bikes and has some parts.
And it's kind of like got a Supercross interior, you know, the way you go in and the side double doors.
Anyone who has
then
a goldfish...
they have a fourth truck.
And then they have the saucer, they call it.
Every team who has a goldfish bowl has to have the regular truck to carry supplies. I don't think it's possible to operate with just goldfish bowls.
Yeah, it's like a greenhouse.
Yeah.
It's just windows and it's a space.
Right, right.
It doesn't actually contain anything.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive to see that. Now, I hope to Jesus that the goldfish bowls do not make it to America. Terrible for fans.
Terrible for fans.
Terrible
for the teams.
Terrible for the sport. Good for the mechanics. Good for the teams. But sweet Jesus, think about the fans here, people. Terrible.
It's good if you want to see mechanics' shoes.
Yeah, this was my first time seeing the goldfish bowls in person.
Oh, that's how long you've been gone.
Well, sure, yeah.
Were they in the nations?
Yeah, I guess in the nations, but as far as
because he didn't come to Europe. We were in America the year before. The year before was COVID.
Yeah.
This was your first time with the goldfish bowls.
Yeah, because, oh my goodness. Right, think about that, right. I've been to two American ones, and then
we really got an expert on this podcast.
And so...
They're using four strokes now?
Yeah, futures? for me, I was like, I don't like those things, but maybe they do come to America, but yeah, not a fan at all. Impressive, though, inside of them. Impressive.
But because you can bring the insight of being a factory team mechanic.
Oh, it's great for them. Yes.
Because they just slide the things out. They don't have to set up an awning.
Are we not here to sell motorcycles and the sport to the fans who pay the tickets, who pay the salaries in a roundabout way?
Because we also need the specialists to be able to do 20 GPs a year and travel to different places and maybe have one more day with their families make the championship.
Taking the tent up and down was the worst job in the sport. I hated it. Hated it. The best thing about your rider making the podium in America is you didn't have to work on the tent because you had to go to impound for the AMA. And you got out of the tent tearing down. It was amazing. But I don't like the goldfish bowls.
I have never seen someone respect your mechanic skills like Roger Harvey.
Yes.
So many references to, you're like this as a mechanic.
Yes.
You'll see that.
I felt good about that. And then when I took the foot peg...
Roger has finally started to lose it.
Yeah, Roger, I took the foot peg out of the drawer. I opened the drawer and took the foot peg out. And he's like, yeah, you know you would go for that because it's tie and it's big and titanium. And yeah, Roger. Yeah, I like Roger.
I think you're going to have to come back again, Steve. Not leave it so long next time.
Adam wants to go. Okay, got
no,
that.
But things to do.
We said we'd do an hour. We have 4 minutes to go.
Football matches to watch.
Good job to the MX2 guys. Really good job to everybody.
Let me just surmise some thoughts. I do think this is a start for Sascha Kuhnen. 2 weeks, two completely different conditions. Incredibly impressive to back that up. A little crash in the first moto, but by his standards, that was minor, and we can overlook that.
One word answer from both of you. Is he better than his brother? Yes or no?
Yes.
One word.
I mean, no.
Yes?
Ooh, no, I'm banking on the future. Not right now, but I'm thinking long term. I'm a visionary.
Does he have the body type? Is he going to grow?
He's like 55 kilo or something.
Like to his eyes.
I don't know about that one, but he's really small. And his brother, you know, is bigger and more filled out and looks more like a motocross racer. And Sasha looks like a boy. So does he grow?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What about his eyes?
Kai missed the podium, but blah, blah, blah. Yeah, great day for him. He said his American dream is still alive. I would bet so much money that 2026, he's in America. Contract with Austria for next year. So much money. Take all my money. He was just ahead of Mikel Harrop, who was like Lieutenant Dan. You know when Forrest Gump is like, you got your legs back, Lieutenant Dan? Well, that was me seeing Harrop riding around.
Yeah, he didn't take the warm-up this morning because of his knee injury yesterday. And he's all beat up. And he got something going on with a finger. And Also, I've never met the kid, ever. First thing he sees me, and he knows who I am, and he says, "You've lost a lot of weight." Never met me before.
Did he call you Pope?
No.
Oh.
But how does that work? You've never met me. But the first comment you make is, "Oh, yeah, you lost a lot of weight."
Steve, is the Triumph the best-looking 250 in this paddock?
It's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Also, the categoric yes.
Really nice kid, though.
Honestly, I told you, Harrop is one of Lewis's angels.
You've never said that. You've never said that to me.
Yeah, this is a bit of a new thing, right?
No, you've never said this. I've known him because he was Max's teammate when he was EMX125. I've groomed him.
Very nice kid. Okay. Really cool, yeah.
Also, categorically, no Triumph 450 next year. Fevre definitely going back to Kawasaki. Someone told me a two-year deal, which I would find hard to believe unless Kawasaki knew they were his only option and said, well, you want to come back here, come for 2 years.
Or they said, you know, you're going to have to wipe a bit of money off your previous price because he doesn't have that many options.
So, quick wrap up. There's going to be a seat at Kawasaki. There's going to be two at Ducati. Austria, there won't be new riders. Yamaha, there shouldn't be new riders.
This could be out there and this could be a dumb question. What are they doing about Prado leaving? What's going on with that seat?
Herlings is likely to be the only 450 in the whole Austrian group.
Oh, wow. Okay, goddamn.
Yep.
Well, the Kunin's a theory under contract, so that's two riders. Then you have DeWolf, who's under contract as well. Let's assume there's no Husqvarna team, so there's already two riders you have to replace, reposition. Yeah, then you have...
Rehome, like a puppy.
Rehome, yes. Yeah. And then you have Andrea Adamo and Liam Evans, who are also under contract for next year. So they have the riders. They just need to work out what color they're in and where they are.
But I heard from three people that Liam was going to Kawasaki.
This is another rumor. Okay. But if he's under contract, then it would have to involve some breakages.
But for context, Liam was very close to going to Yamaha. He was pursued heavily. So for whatever reason, Liam seems to be eager to leave or open to options or however you want to phrase it.
You mentioned Yamaha a moment ago. They're set for their 450 riders. As you said, Calvin Vlaanderen looks like he's going to sign again. So there'll be their three riders. Jago Gertz is confirmed. Maxime Renault is confirmed. But the 250 squad... it's a little bit up in the air.
So I heard that Bonacorsi is going to Fantic. I would presume in MX2 because I would presume Bogers and Koldenoff will stay.
Yeah, and you would assume also that the Thibaut Benestan dalliance is now finished as well.
Yeah, Benestan is out by all accounts. And honestly, I worry for Benestan because if Austria aren't hiring, if he doesn't take the Kawasaki spot, what does he do? This could be...
he's going to need to reset, I think.
This could be Bramhall Part 2.
Potentially.
FNH, maybe?
And I was saying earlier to Steve that there's a real lack of French riders in MX2 at the moment.
I did have another point, but I forgot. But yeah, silly season. So Sewer's out there, up for contract. Jonas is up. Ferrato's up. Guadagnini's up. Ben Watson is up.
Ferrato is up.
I said Ferrato. Thank you for paying attention.
That was one of your tragedies of the weekend, right? You didn't get to meet Alberto.
Really, he's back on the bike, and he was a surprise of this season last year. And I really thought he would make his appearance here for me in front of his home fans and his number one fan. But no, nothing. And then I asked a couple of people, is he here? He should be here, but no one actually had a confirmed...
No sighting.
Honestly, Ferrato has been so beat up this year that he really needs some protection. And I would recommend EVS Sports, the original protective gear company. EVS has been protecting champions and riders for almost 40 years and do not plan to stop anytime soon. What started out as one knee brace has evolved into a full line of protective gear to help keep riders safe while they do what they love. Check out EVS-sports.com to see the same protective gear that pros RJ Hampshire, Kyle Chisholm, Axel Hodges and Travis Pastrana all wear every day. In a word, best conversation you had this weekend. Go.
Sponsor of the LVK Pod 2.
Sponsor EVS. Of the LVK Pod 2.
Yeah.
Paul Kellum.
Jorge Prado on Friday. I interviewed him for my book about MotoGP, street bike racing, and he was brilliant. Just about on the technique of being an elite level motorcycle racer, as well as some mentality stuff. So that was good.
Best conversation you had this weekend?
Oh, boy. Most unexpected was Harrop.
Wow. Because, that's an outside pick.
Well, because he knew who I was, and I'm like, how would you know who I am? Complimented me, and then was really cool and nice, and like was on it. Like, you know, a lot of riders are just pretty self-centered about themselves and everything else, and he was a very nice guy. Best conversation was with my guy, Roger Harvey.
2 hours we were in there.
Yeah, but I meant more on the hillside.
Oh.
We were talking about Honda USA and influences on the bikes between Tim and Honda USA. And Tim runs the BFRC Shock. And what kind of data do they share? Turns out not much. Different sound rules, different rules altogether. Tim's bike, how Tim is as a rider, my friend Tim. And Roger had nothing but great things to say about him, even off the record, as far as how he is as a person. And so Roger Harvey.
Mine would be my HRC meeting, though.
I mean, you have like 30 best conversations.
Yeah,
how are you going to narrow this down?
You must have jaw ache.
It's like me going to Disneyland. I've met Mickey Mouse. I've had ice cream.
Has he been this happy at Supercross this
no,
year?
No.
I'm like...
He's too up in his head. He's just a basket case.
Have you watched Toy Story 4?
You love Toy Story, don't
have you?
Have
you watched Toy Story 4?
Is that the one with the bear? The bad bear?
No, that's Free.
Right,
at the end of Toy Story 4, someone asks Buzz Lightyear, is Woody lost? And Buzz goes, he was, but not anymore. That's me.
Yeah. So we're going to stay here? No. Is that where you're going?
No, I'm just motivated now. Like I've remembered what I can do.
Okay.
So many people in America just tell me I can't do things.
So you're not like a discounted toy in the store anymore. You're back to top shelf.
Honestly, it depends how... Honestly... Warning to the American industry, roll out that fucking red carpet at Southwick because you've got a bar to hit.
Oh, wow. That's gracious.
This is okay, why the guy down.
Did you say he's on the Pulp Show this week?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Wow, okay. It's going to be like a 6-hour special.
Yeah, we'll dive into all of this.
No, I had a really good conversation with Hurlings.
Oh, shocking.
Okay. The quote that I told you about.
Is that all going to be, is that going to be unfiltered, unedited, posted, or are you going to have to, clip it?
No, the interview was quite fine.
Oh, okay. Well, you had a talk and then an interview. It wasn't all together.
No, we had a 45-minute powwow. Just two buddies. Final comment.
You mentioned me?
No.
What about the Instagram story?
Nope.
I posted of him.
Honestly.
Sad.
I feel like in America, I walk in your shadow. It was so nice to see you in my shadow for a time.
I mean, there's no shadows. There's nobody's walking in
Jeremy
my shadow.
Going to be...
Is this a weight joke about the size of me?
Yes, it's a slimmer shadow.
He's walking in my shadow like, oh, God, I can't even see the sun.
I'm walking... That's fine. Final comment I wanted to make. Adamo, unhappy this year. I don't know if you noticed this. You wouldn't have noticed this because the last time you came to a GP, he wasn't alive. last year, his demeanor was like, boop, like happy, happy, happy. The vibe, even like walking by him, was like aggressive.
Yeah, my
not the same happy-go-lucky guy.
My interactions with him were pretty much the same, but he, by all accounts, he is pretty moody this year. More demanding.
He's the world champion. He's not doing that well.
But he said to me that this weekend was more like what he expected. So normal service is being resumed. So maybe we see a different force in the second half of the season.
Defending world champion. Your teammate who missed the first round has won 2 GPs. Your teammate who literally could not stay on the bike for more than 2 corners has now won 2 GPs. You've won 0. That's a tough sell.
Yeah, but still,
and the other teammate who won the GPs is ahead of you in points and missed a round.
Yes.
Yeah, but still as good as your last race syndrome. I mean, he still has he's still the world champion, and that you have to afford some sort of respect to that and realize that that doesn't happen by chance. You know, he worked for it and he got it.
Are we done? Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I'm hungry. Rough. And that's been a...
Lewis ordered a Big Mac plain yesterday.
Cheese. No cheese. Your cheese?
Cheese. It came bun.
It came no cheese.
Yeah, but I will happily take no cheese if it... Like, I'd rather go...
I've just never seen a human do that.
Yeah.
I would rather go the extreme plain way than the extreme, like, here's everything.
How long do you have to wait?
I do it quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
No, final thoughts. Go ahead.
No. I'm good.
I'm hungry also.
Your final thought was, I'm hungry.
It was, yeah. Way to get deep with us, Adam.
It's
you can go if you like.
It's half an hour into England's first match in the European Championship. This is
it was great
nerve.
To see my friend Adam.
Yeah, likewise with Steve.
And I admire and I respect this man, even though I make fun of his street bike racing. Were you impressed with a little bit of Ducati knowledge I had earlier?
I'm very happy to talk to you about a range of subjects, like the Sphere, U2, pop culture.
We talk Sphere. Yeah. We talked street bike racing. We talked my career, my moto.
Yeah, you know, old age.
Old age. Yes, we talked a lot. So it's great to see you.
Likewise.
And we'll see you again, I'm sure, Des Nations, or we hope.
I was trying to look at SMX, but...
Okay.
You told me you were maybe out of Nations.
Possibly. It's the same weekend as the Japanese GP. And I did it in Red Bud, but I don't know.
Okay. Well...
And also, mentally, we got so lucky in Erne. So lucky with the weather. I just think it's going to come back and kill us this year.
I didn't go to Erne because of the weather. And it was beautiful. And now watch me go to Matterley and just get shit on.
Okay, not to drag this out. And you can go if you want. But should we announce what we've secured?
I think you should wait for until it's confirmed.
Yeah. No, it's confirmed.
In black and white email.
I will leak it.
Hype it a little bit, tease it, but don't say it's confirmed until you.
So
you
know. I put an idea to my friend Steve. My friend Steve agreed. So then we put an idea to our friend Dan, and our friend Dan agreed. And honestly, Lewis and in front are just call me Lewis Luongo. It's been a while since I said that, but honestly, give it 2 years, I'll be the CEO of this championship.
Oh, okay. All right. You'll be back here then. You're going to leave America.
I'll do it from America. Remote.
Oh, okay, remote.
Laptop, Zoom.
Sure. It's fine. We are a connected nation.
My final thoughts, which I did have, but I forgot.
You didn't even leak.
Tease what's happening at the Nations.
Was that not good enough? Okay. We're probably going to be doing this podcast live, sans Adam, if he's not going, with Steve.
Other guests.
And I can guarantee that Sewer will be involved. I can guarantee that Ben Watson will be involved. I can guarantee that Paul Jonas will be involved.
Well, that's just a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, what if someone gets injured and they're nowhere near the Nations?
I'm sure Paul's will go. Shout out to Paul's and Ben. Missed them greatly this weekend. Really sad. But otherwise, I feel like I did very well with seeing everyone I wanted to see.
Shout out to my Instagram post to Ben. I thought that was really funny.
Someone messaged me and said, is he okay? Because it gives the vibe that... Yeah. He's passed on.
Right. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
No, genuinely, such a good weekend. Great to be back. I wasn't going to come back until the last round. I'm now going to go to Lommel. Such a good weekend. To quote the famous British meme of the guy at the football match, he's like, the atmosphere was just electric. I've never seen such a buzz at a game before. Do you know that?
No.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah, it sounded good.
Oh, that's great weekend. I'm very happy. I don't want this podcast to end, but my co-hosts are boring, so this is the end. Thank you to EVS Sports, All Balls Racing, and Polisport
and Pro Circuit.
And Steve is presented by Pro Circuit. This has been the MXGP podcast show. Sorry, we missed last week. Also, we will make that up.
Stay tuned on Tuesday. Pop MX show
for the Pop MX show, where we will discuss Steve's disdain with our dinner last night.
Yep.
Disdain?
And porta potties.
He was so angry.
I did pay for it.
Thank you for that.
He was so angry.
Don't listen on Tuesday.
Okay.
You listen to the show, you never listen.
Yeah, I listen to the show.
So angry.
All the time?
What? Yeah.
Skip Tuesday.
He was so
Tuesday.
He was so angry about it.
I wasn't so angry, but we'll get into it.
But the pizza was good, right?
No, it wasn't. The food was fine.
It was the company.
He didn't like people.
We'll get into it on Tuesday.
Oh,
it wasn't.
The conversation.
No. Just everything was. I was tired and hungry and
hot.
He doesn't like being as Lewis's shadow.
Yeah.
He went to a dinner as Lewis's plus one, as I do in America.
Yeah, maybe.
And hated it.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll get into it. I also want to talk about porta potties.
Yeah.
I got more porta potty stories from here, so we'll get into that as well.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Arrivederci.
Arriva, what does that mean?
Ciao.
Goodbye.
Grazie.
We will be back in 2 weeks for the first of two Indonesian doubleheaders. Stay tuned. In the meantime, I expect big silly season announcement in the next 10 days, plus Motocross of Nations news. I've been your host, Lewis Phillips, and we will see you in 2 weeks.